What is the most important question that you could ever ask in your lifetime? Do you know what it is? Well, the Bible explains the answer to that question. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, in verse 30, a prison guard who thought he was going to be killed turned to the Apostle Paul and begged him with one simple question: what must I do to be saved? This is the most important question you can ever ask in your lifetime. What must you do to make sure that you are going to heaven, that your soul is saved, that once you die, you will spend eternity with God? Well, in verse 31, Paul answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." In everything we do in beginningandend.com, this is the most important mission. We are committed to sharing the good news of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we want to share with you how you can know you are going to heaven. The first step in that is to know your condition. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells the truth that is hard to hear, but that all people need to hear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the truth that no other religion in the world wants to share with you. Yes, does God love you? Yes. And does God want you to be part of his family eternally? Absolutely. So what's the problem? Why does God feel so far away? Why do you feel like God doesn't exist in your life at all? The answer is sin. And the Bible tells us the truth that all people are sinners. The Ten Commandments are rules that most people are familiar with and can probably easily name 4 to 5 of them. All 10 is more of a challenge. But what is the purpose? Well, contrary to what many people think, the Ten Commandments are not how you go to heaven. They're actually there to be a mirror, to show you and prove to you why you're not going to heaven. The Ten Commandments are God's law. They're explaining to you and proving beyond the shadow of a doubt that all of us have sinned. No matter how nice you think you are, or the nice good deeds you do for other people, or the kind gestures you may make to strangers, you are not good. I am not good. No one is good in God's eyes. God's standard is sinless perfection. And that's important, because if we're going to live in heaven and there's sin and pain and murder and death, then that's not heaven at all. That's nothing to look forward to. But God has a paradise prepared for us where there'll be no sin, no pain, no harm, no suffering, no hurt ever again. And that's why all sin must be punished, whether it's stealing, taking the Lord's name in vain, which is using God's name as a swear word or to curse or to express your anger, coveting or desiring something that belongs to someone else, sexual desire, and that could be whether it's fornication, having sexual relations outside of marriage, or just lusting for someone outside of marriage. All of these are sins, and God's standard is that we should not commit any of them. So how are we doing when we look at ourselves up against God's standards? We've all fallen short. And the sad truth is, we know this. Everyone, whether you've read a Bible or not, you know in your heart that we have sinned, that you've done wrong, that you've thought evil thoughts, that you've done evil things, that you've lied countless times. That's the conscience that God has given all of us. And God told us in the Word that it's written on our hearts, so we know what we're doing is wrong. So that's step one, is to know your condition. So, okay, I'm a sinner. I admit it. So what now? That's step two, is to know where you're headed. So now that you've admitted, at least in your heart, that you have broken God's law, what does that mean? What's the consequence of that for your eternal destiny? Well, we know God is your judge. How is he going to see it? Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Yes, death. That's how you are paid for living your life as a sinner. Now, of course, you can easily point to other people throughout history or people you may know personally who've done many worse things than you and think, well, I can't be nearly as bad as that person, so I know that God is not going to punish me. Well, the answer to that is no. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." God sees one sin as the same as being guilty of all of them. That's how good and how moral and how perfect God is and how high his standard is. So no sinner is coming to heaven, no matter how big or small your sins are, or how small you might think they are. Our good deeds are not going to outweigh our bad deeds on a scale and allow us to go to heaven. That is not the message of Christianity. The Bible says, with respect to our good deeds, that but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That is how the good things we do, our good actions, that is how they're viewed according to God. So thinking that being nice and being kind to others is going to get you to heaven is no different than a mass murderer standing for the judge after being found guilty and saying, "Well, I do help my old neighbor carry groceries home, Your Honor. I help her every week on Sundays, and I make sure she gets inside the house." That has nothing to do with the fact that that person was convicted of murder. A crime took place. And if a judge let a murderer go just because they helped someone with their groceries, that would be a corrupt, awful judge. That wouldn't happen in today's world. So imagine with God. Of course, God is not going to let any criminal off the hook either. So, one, you're guilty before God, and two, your destination is hell, eternity in eternal punishment for your sins. Yes, I know what you're thinking now. This is not sounding good at all, and it's true. That's the bad news. But hold on, because there's very good news as well, and that's step three. To know the good news. The book of Romans, which told us, one, that we were sinners, and two, that the wages and payment for our sin is that we get to go to hell, also tells us that, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And this is the good news, the gospel, that God loves us so much that he made a divine plan so that we could escape the eternal punishment of hell and be with him for eternity. How did he do this? Well, the Bible makes it clear. All sin must be punished. God is a just judge, and no sin will be allowed to just be swept under the rug, or thinking that you can bribe God somehow to overlook the things you've done. No. Every sin you've ever committed must be punished and judged properly. And God will do that. And God has done that already. 2,000 years ago, by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Before the earth was even created, Jesus existed with God the Father. And once humanity was created, from the first sin by Adam and Eve, when it was introduced into the world and the death and suffering that comes along with that, God put the plan into action to have Jesus come into earth, to lower himself, to be born as a human being, to serve as a sacrifice for all humanity. By living a perfect life and taking the punishment on the cross, Jesus took the punishment that you deserve, that I deserve, that we all deserve for those sins that we know that we are guilty of. He chose to be the sin bearer and take God's wrath for us. This is how we are allowed to be declared innocent and sin-free in God's eyes. This is how God can rightly forgive us. Our sins must be punished. We owe a debt to God for our lifetime of sins, for the crimes that we've committed against his law. Jesus Christ stood in your place to take that punishment for you, to pay your debt for you. If you had a fine of $12 million and someone came and wrote a check on your behalf, you could give that to a judge and you'd be let free. That obligation and the debt that you owed would now be forgiven. Jesus paid your debt for your sin with his blood. By dying and taking the punishment for your sin on the cross, your debt is paid. And when you trust in him, you can then be forgiven as well. That's love. Many, many parents will say they would die for their children in a heartbeat. But how many parents would let their children die for you? Especially if they didn't know you. Especially if you had mocked their child, had hated their child, had ignored their child. Well, guess what? Many of us have done that, myself included, with Jesus, with God. We've mocked, we've ignored, we've maybe even hated God. But yet, God still sent Jesus to die for your sins, to take your punishment. That is love. Why did he do this? Because it was the only way to justly and rightly bring us back to be at peace and harmony and reconciliation with him. And that's the good news. So what's step four? It's to believe. And here we're going to quote the most famous Bible verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We must believe in Jesus, the Son of God, as our Savior. Being a Christian and being born again is knowing that you need salvation. Many people say, yes, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe you're a sinner, and you don't believe that you're going to hell, what do you need saving from? Then you don't need a savior. Being a born-again Christian means knowing that without Jesus Christ, you are 100% headed for eternal punishment. And knowing that your faith in his sacrifice is what saves you. It allows God to give you a new spirit. That's what being born again is. A spirit that can feel God's presence, that wants to worship him. Everything in our body, the way we are born as we grow, wants to desire to move away from God. God wants to give you a new spirit that wants to draw close to him. That's what being born again means. It's the simple gospel message that you can be a new person, a new woman, a new man, a new child in God when you trust in him and believe in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. And just as he rose from the grave 3 days later, that same power will give you eternal life. But guess what? There's more. The news gets even better. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 states that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So it's faith in Christ that saves, not our own efforts, not our good deeds, not going to church, not helping with groceries or any type of ritual. It's our faith. If that seems easy, that's precisely why the Bible calls it a gift. It's the gift of God. God's grace is undeserved love, undeserved favor. That is what salvation is. That's what being saved and going to heaven is. It's God's gift to you. Now, when is the last time someone gave you a gift and said, okay, here's your gift. That'll be $20. Or here's your gift. Now go mow my lawn and clean the house, and then you get it. When's the last time you had to work for a gift? Your answer should be never, because if you did, then it wasn't a gift. God's gift to us is salvation by our faith and his grace, and not by our actions. So take that gift and enjoy it. So there's the four steps. know your condition, know where you're headed, but also know the good news and believe it. If anything you've heard in this message is moving your heart to believe or makes you worried about the state of your soul, don't waste time. Don't wait. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ. Pray to God. And with your mouth, let Him know that you know you're a sinner. You know that you deserve hell. But you also know that Jesus Christ took your punishment when He died on the cross, so that you could be declared innocent and receive the gift of eternal life. There are so many questions we have in life. Why are we living the life that we have? Why are we suffering? Why is there pain? Why do things seem so unfair? The answer is sin. But there's a world waiting for you where those things won't matter or even exist anymore. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, we read, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This is what God wants to give you. And it's free. Believe in it and enjoy eternal life. What's the most important question? What must I do to be saved? And Lord willing, now you know the answer.